in the name of Jesus. Perhaps never in the history of the world has a kiss meant so much and yet so little. When you bend down to kiss your child goodnight, all of your hopes and dreams for that child are wrapped up in that simple gesture. When a man kisses a woman for the first time, all the possibilities of a future life together come rushing in, and perhaps even some rather passionate feelings for one another. The kiss Judas gave Jesus, however, was about as dispassionate a kiss as there could ever be, at least in the mind of Judas. By this point, the betrayer had undoubtedly disassociated in his own thoughts any consequences that his actions might trigger. All that mattered at this point was Judas. What he wanted, the revenge that he sought. Should it happen that he made a little money on the side, well, all the better. As we continue to hear St. Mark's account of our Lord's Passion, it's remarkable how central a role man's self-centeredness plays in every scene of the drama. When Jesus is brought before the Sanhedrin, we find the chief priests willing to do anything to label him as a traitorous blasphemer. Never mind the truth, they have the status quo to defend, their power base to maintain. So bring on the false witnesses, even if their testimony is embarrassing. They have to win this encounter with Jesus, no matter what it takes. As for Peter's denial of his Lord, what is this but a frantic attempt to save himself? Despite the fact that his master is the one who's on trial, the one whose life is really in danger, Peter thinks only of himself and tries to distance himself as far from Jesus as he can. It's a matter of self-preservation. And then there's Pilate. Here he was an outsider. He really had no vested interest in these religious squabbles of the Jews. Indeed, he actually recognized that there was really no validity to the charges, that the Pharisees and chief priests were simply acting out of envy. He really was the only adult in the room. And he thought himself a smart one at that, letting them have the choice of whom he might release, Jesus or Barabbas, a real troublemaker. Surely that would bring these chief priests to their senses, he thought. But little did he expect them to call his bluff and to ask for Barabbas instead. In the end, Pilate was also motivated by his own selfish desires. He had to keep the peace above all else, lest he lose his own head as a consequence. And so, to please the people, he orders Jesus to be crucified. In contrast to all of the scheming and lying, note how silent your Lord is. He puts up not a word of defense, but simply acknowledges the truth when it's spoken. When asked if he is the Christ, his answer is that familiar confession of his divinity that we're so used to hearing in another of the gospel accounts. Ego eimi, I am. And to Pilate's question, are you the king of the Jews? His answer is completely deferential. You have said so. From that point on, Jesus will honor none of their charges with a response. Rather, as the prophet Isaiah had foretold, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You do understand that he does this all for you. In that masterful Lenten hymn, O Dearest Jesus, from which we sang several stanzas a few moments ago, there is another stanza that squarely lays the blame for our Lord's suffering at our feet. Whence come these sorrows? Whence this mortal anguish? It is my sins for which thou, Lord, must languish. Yea, all the wrath, the woe thou dost inherit, this I do merit. The body blows, the crack of the whip, the taunting and mockery, all of this was rightfully ours. Yet Jesus, the sinless one, assumed our place under the law and became a curse for us, precisely so that we might be free from all the accusations of the accuser, of all that he would hurl against us. For Christ's sake, his charges will not stick against us. The old evil foe will certainly try, you can be sure of that. But because you belong to the one who alone was truly guiltless, so you are able to live confidently, free from all guilt and shame. Tomorrow, we will hear the conclusion of St. Mark's account of our Lord's Passion. You already know the story, but that won't keep you from hearing it again, because it is the story of his death, which is your life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.